I'll try and not keep you too long. How can you fit something of 88 years in 4 hours? So I won't keep you long. I'm a bit different from you, Chris. When Stuart asked me, which about 2 or 3 months ago, I start writing things down straight away. And then when I look what I've written down, I think, what did I write that for? How does that fit in with that? So I have no idea. And then I have to spend more time trying to sort out what I'm going to say. I hope it doesn't make sense. Come and tell me afterwards and I'll answer all your questions. Right. I was born, I'll start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. I was born on the 6th of September 1935. And my mum's name, wait for this, was Martha Alice. She was the only one out of 5 or 6 children with 2 names. I don't know why my mum got both of them, I don't know. And my dad was called Jess Ogden. My dad called her Math Alice. When he wanted to speak to her, he'd always say Math Alice. So she got known most of the time as Alice Kesterton, although she'd not been that for a long time. Anyway, so I had a brother, but he was 18 years older than me, so when I came along, it was a bit of a shock. But my dad had always wanted a girl, and that's why I am Jessie, because my dad was Jess. My mum was a Christian. She got saved in this church many years. I didn't know about it, but I found a photograph once of a man. And I said, who's this? Oh, she said he came preaching at chapel and a few of us got saved. So that was my mum's experience. But she taught me a lot of things, my mum, in a practical way. Housewifey things, as you got taught in those days. But she also taught me to pray. Because, not in my own words, but before I got into bed, every night I had to kneel down at the side of the bed and say, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon this little child. Pity my simplicity, teach me, Lord, to come to thee. And praise God, I did. One night I got in bed without saying it. She came up and said that I said my prayers, and I said, no. She said, get out of bed and get on your knees and say them. So I had to. So my mum believed a lot in prayer. And in those days, I don't think they didn't speak of Jesus like we do now, you know. My mum would give me something. I'd say, Mum, don't keep doing that. And she'd say, when he tells me to do something, you don't tell me not to. So that's how my mum was, and she was lovely. She did a lot of things in our street. She made friends with a lot of people. But that was when I was much younger. And also, because both my dad and my brother worked at Moseley Common Pit, where there used to be one, my dad had been a miner, but he'd also been in the 1914-18 war. And my brother worked on the, I don't know what they call it, where they fired up. My dad had to come out of the pit because of a bad chest, and he finished up on top just doing that. My brother finished up as a winder, and my dad had to finish work at 54 because of him being so poorly. So my mum didn't have a babysitter because her mother died the day I was born. And she'd gone to live in, well, I don't know where she lived before, because the house I'm in now was my mum's first house, and she was 42 when I was born. So I don't know where it happened before. But she had to take me. If she wanted to come here, I had to come with her. So I was at the choir practice at 5 years old. I wasn't singing. At our house, you didn't sit doing nothing. You had to do something. So I was knitting on 4 needles and making some socks. And I came to the choir practice, sat at the side of my mother, and my mother said, knit and be quiet, which I did. She wanted to come to the ladies' class, which they had on a Tuesday. I came to the ladies' class, because she wanted to come and couldn't leave me with anybody. So I came to most things before I was born again, actually. I was born again on the 18th of February, 1952, and I was 16. And I feel terrible to say this. I thought God had a bargain with me because I didn't steal and I hadn't sworn, I hadn't smoked, I hadn't done this, and I hadn't done that. So I thought, way, this is good. God's got a bargain with me, definitely won't have to do much work on me. How can you think like that? But I did, because I'd never known any other way of life. This was my life. I wasn't interested in anything else, but I got born again, definitely. And I sometimes think, you know, when I read about the religious leaders of Jesus' days, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, I just praise God. I could have easily been one of them. Because I know people who've gone to churches all their lives and they think that's all there is to it. They've never been born again. And that could have been me. I was so good. Why did I need to be born again? But God had a work for me, and he had to work in my life to prove that I wasn't a bargain at all. I was as bad as anybody else. So praise God, he has taught me a lot since then. I became part of most of the things that went on here. Sunday school teacher, and then in those days we had the Sunday school at 10:30 till 11 o'clock. Then we had a service from 11 till whenever. And then there was a Sunday school in the afternoon. And then at night there was a service. And after the service there was a prayer meeting, which we used to have in here, but people like to have a little chat. So it got later and later, and we met in there, as Ian reminded me this morning. About 20-odd of us, really, and we had a lovely time. So I was involved in quite a lot of things, and I enjoyed it very much indeed. It was a very busy day, but I loved it. I was in the choir as well. I loved singing. I've always loved singing. And when I was in the choir and we did the Messiah, I can't explain it to anybody how I felt. It was so lovely. Now, I don't know what's happened to me. I start singing and then I go an octave lower because I can't reach the notes upstairs sort of thing. So I come down an octave and sing him how I want to sing. It doesn't matter anymore. Make a joyful noise wherever it is. When I was 18, I started going out with Frank. And he says to me, "Don't mention me again." Well, what can I do? I mentioned Thingy Bob, you know. I'm married. And we got married in 1958. But I'm going to tell you this because I think it's extremely funny. My dad had to have a bed downstairs in those days because my dad was so poorly. So he couldn't give me away. My brother gave me away. And Frank's mum and dad were a bit bothered that we didn't think we could go away on honeymoon because I didn't want to leave my dad, to be honest. And they come up with a solution between them. Frank's Uncle Henry had an ice cream parlour at Knot End. And he also, outside that, had an ice cream van where you could buy ice cream outside. And guess how we went on our honeymoon? With Uncle Henry and Aunt Lizzie and three children in an ice cream van. And he'd taken all the seats out, all the things out, and put some seats in and put a sign on the back about just married. And we went along the road with everybody pipping the horn because of all the balloons and goodness knows what. So we went to Uncle Henry's at Knot End for our honeymoon. And we had a whale of a time because Uncle Henry was a jokester. And he'd do something to the bed. He put beans in it, peas in it, made the bed so you couldn't put your feet down. I don't know what that's called. So you couldn't put your feet down on the bed, yes. So it was lovely. I enjoyed every minute of it. And then 2 weeks later, my dad died. So we stayed with my mum. In many ways, when I have looked back, it wasn't all that easy. I was newly married, and as far as I was concerned, that was my responsibility, to look after Frank and myself, the house. But my mum was newly widowed, and she'd worked hard. She'd looked after my dad morning, noon and night, 7 days a week. When he died, she got up, she'd nothing to do. So she tried to do things for me. And I got a bit angry at times because, as far as I was concerned, because she was so much older when I was born, I thought, if I don't learn now, when she dies, what will I do? So as far as I was concerned, I didn't want my mum to do anything, and it sometimes did cause a few bits of rows, because I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and she wanted to help. A lot of things going on in our fellowship, and it was lovely, but we hadn't got anything properly for young. I mean, when we did have a Sunday school, it was split and half there. The boys kept the boys separate from the girls in those days. The boys on that side, the girls on this side, ladies in there, men in there, but with no youth club or anything. Well, somebody called Dennis Downing, who was very involved in IM things, thought it would be a good idea if IM churches started in a youth club, and we'd all run our own individual, but it was called IMTACS, Independent Methodist Teenagers Clubs. So we got involved. I just came along to wash the pots, make a drink, do other things. I just came along to help, really. And we used to get about 100, maybe, something like that. But they were all rough and ready from up Shackley. But in those days, I wasn't frightened of any of them, to be honest, even though they were big toughies, because it wasn't as dangerous in those days. And we had an epilogue. They played themselves, did what they want. We had a proper game. Then we had an epilogue, which they all went. It's always been called the kitchen, but we used that room for meetings as well. And as soon as it was epilogue time, they would find everywhere to hide they could. So Pauline and I, and my friend who came here, spent most of our time, they never came in here, but we spent most of our time chasing round after them, grabbing hold of them and making them go in there. And I said to the leader of the gang, he was up here, I said, listen, I'm sick and tired of having to chase you around like this every week. It's hard work. And he looked at me, and I've never forgotten. He looked at me and he said, don't worry, he said, I'm just glad somebody cares enough to do something for me and make me do what's right. And I thought, well, I never expected that. I thought he'd have had a row with me. But you see, nobody ever told them right and wrong. Nobody ever put barriers up for them to say this far and no further. And suddenly somebody was doing it here. Well, there's also one boy, they were allowed one biscuit. And this boy used to stuff his pockets. So I said to him, how many biscuits have you got? One. I've only got one. I said, I think you've got more. No, I've only got one. So I got hold of his pocket, his trouser pocket, and I scrunched them all up in his pocket. And he kept going, no. So all he got in his pocket when I'd finished was a pocket full of crumbs. He never did it again. I don't know why I was like that, I don't know. I was also baptised in the Holy Spirit on my own in our house. And I just felt more of awareness of the Lord Jesus in my life then and the moving of the Holy Spirit. But I was also baptised in water, and not like you. Ours was in cold water tap water. For those who got back at the little Baptist church at the corner of Milk Street. The heater had broken down. And all I could remember when I stepped, well, first of all, I'd written, I don't go along with crowds. I need to know it's right for me. If everybody else is doing it, that's okay. But I have to know it's right for Jesse. And I had a list in my mind. I can't do it because of, I can't do it because of, I can't do it, and I'm not doing it because of. And up to doing it that sort of week, the Lord, in effect, put a line through every one of them, bit by bit by bit, until I had nothing left as an excuse, and I did get baptised. I stepped in the water, and I couldn't speak. When I was going... And here was I hoping to have a real spiritual experience, and all I thought, well, I'm going to die if I don't get out of here, because it was that cold. So that was my experience with that. And many people over the years have blessed me. They don't know they have, but they have. I love people. I love people watching. I'd sit all day and watch people. So I've lived and I've learned. What I've not liked in some people, I've asked the Lord not to do it. What I've liked in people, I've tried to think, if that's of you, Lord, then I'll be like that. So I have met a lot of people over the years that God has blessed me with. We're all a book that people can read, whether Christians or non-Christians. And I think sometimes when we're with Christians, we don't think it matters, but it does. We learn from one another. We also had, I'm sorry about the time, but I'll tell you a funny one first. We once had a CCC camp crusade, Children's Christian Crusade. Two people came and did it for us, and it was a lovely time. But we decided, for those of us who were Sunday school teachers, that instead of just inviting the children to the Sunday school, we were all responsible for about two or three children to go for them and bring them ourselves. Now, after I married Frank, his mum only lived down with the second row down at the bottom there. So I'd started going for my dinner, because we came early in the morning, I'd started going there for my dinner and my tea with Frank, and we had all day here. And then after my dad died, my mum used to come to the service in the morning and stay at Frank's mum's, and she would stay there. But on this particular Sunday, my mother wasn't very well, so I'd had to go home at Mossley Common and get her some dinner and see to myself. And it took me more longer than I thought. And I needed to get back to pick up a boy in the next street to Frank's mum's house. And I came running out of the house, and it was bitter cold. Absolutely bitter cold. I forgot my scarf, I forgot my gloves, I had nothing on my head. And as I'm going to the bus stop, the bus came and went without me. And I said, Lord, please, I really need the lift. I really need the lift. And he provided one for me, which I thought was very good. But it was, I don't know how to describe it. It was a cross between a proper motorbike and a moped. It wasn't as big as a motorbike, but it wasn't as small as a moped. And I knew him actually because he used to come for he collected for insurance. He came to our house. So he stopped at the bus stop and said, do you need a lift anywhere? And I'm thinking, I've never ridden on anything like this before. So he said, get on and I'll take you to Tills. So I climbed on, put my arms around his pen, got to Tills. He dropped me off at the top there and I'm stood there. I couldn't move. And I said to the Lord, the next time I'll be a bit more specific. So I've always tried to be specific ever since then. If I need the lift, it has to be a posh car. I've always tried to be... There's been lots of changes in our church. Oh, I wanted that in, thanks. There's a lot of things have changed in our church. We used to have a president, and he'd been the president for 20-odd years. And Jim and Frank, our other friend, we'd been friends with Jim... Well, Frank had for years and years. They started to sort of go deeper into the Bible and found out that it's not presidents, they're elders and deacons, and they tried. It wasn't all right with a lot of people, but with a lot of other people it was fine, and they did the right thing because they were moving in the Spirit, and that's what they felt was right for this fellowship. Also, not long, about 19, I think it was 19, I've got it somewhere, I forgot where it is now. Frank went to Bible school in 1970, but that was the second time, actually. He'd already been to Cape and Ray for 6 months, but this one he was going to was for 2 years. Now, I've never been a confident person. I've always thought other people were much better at anything than I ever was, so I'd always looked up to people, and I'd left things to other people because I'm not a leader, I'm a follower. And if I know it's right, I will. But I'm not a leader. And I thought, Frank's gone for 2 years. There's a youth club. There's this. What on earth am I going to do? What can I sort my life out? So, and the other thing was, it was Charismatic Bible, so it was IBTI in Sussex, near London, I can't think. Burgess Hill. And I thought, oh, I know what's going to happen. They'll have all these wonderful experiences and he'd come home and I'll be left behind spiritually. And I didn't want that to happen. I wanted to grow as much as he did. But I'm not that sort of a person. And you're amazed when I tell you what the Lord said to me. So I told the Lord how I felt. I've always been honest with God. I've always been honest with him. And I just said, I don't know how I'm going to manage. I don't know what to do. And I'm beginning to feel lost by now. So I prayed and told the Lord how I went. And he plainly said to me, as though he were stood at the side of me, I will uphold you with my glorious right hand. Now, I didn't know at that time that that was part of the verse that says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What could I say to that? Other than, okay, God, it's in your hands, not mine anymore. And he did help me through all that. I experienced things I'd never experienced before. And we went to the same meeting that Jeff went to, Margaret, in Blackpool, where there were about 300 people. And I heard singing in the spirit there. I have never heard anything like it before or since. I didn't know whether to join in or just sit and listen. I wanted to join in because I couldn't explain it. It was like water coming on the seashore and then dying away. And I thought, I'm going to join in for a bit. So I did. I had a lovely time then, God bless me. So I found out that the experiences Frank were having while he was at Bible school, I was having here in our fellowship and the meetings that we used to go to. Because we used to meet as when IMTAC started here, Harry started it off, but Jim and Frank helped him. But as leaders of the IMTACs, we used to have meetings every so often. We went away for a weekend and had teaching, and we got to know a lot of people. So that was how God blessed me. Then when Frank got the invitation, and I'm not name dropping here, but I want to mention this for a reason. Frank got an invitation to go to a garden party at Buckingham Palace. And he said, I'm not really bothered about this. It's like, you know. And I looked like pitiful at him. You know. And I went, Oh, well, you won't go, don't I? I said, yes. Well, for you, then I will go. But the point is, it would cost money. Now, I'm not pleading. Well, that was then. It's many years ago now. But first of all, when Frank announced it here, Joanne came running. I thought, oh, we can't go to London on our own. We'd be lost in 2 days. And Joanne came. She said, why don't you ask somebody from the fellowship to go with you and help you? And I'm thinking, but I can't. It's money for them as well. But Jane, always loved an opportunity to go to London to see her brother Andrew, Jane and Marion. And that was took out of our hands. But the other thing was, I was thinking about it a lot, and I thought, Lord, I am being a bit selfish here. Being a bit selfish. It's taking money that we don't really need to spend. And, you know, I need some. And what do, Lord? It's spending money on one thing or another. And the Lord reminded me, funnily enough, of the story that Jessica preached on last week, the woman with the cruse of oil. And the Lord reminded me of that, and he said to me, your pot will never be empty. And I thought, well, I am being selfish, Lord, but if you said that, I'll take you at your word that my pot will never be empty. I came to chapel on the Sunday morning, and Pat gave me an envelope. I said, oh, thank you. It's nothing to do with me, she said. It has nothing to do with me. It's from your friend Stephen. And when I looked inside, there was about £40 or £50 in that wallet. So I ringed Stephen up and I thought, no, write him a letter. And I wrote him a letter and I told him to try and remember the story, because he used to come to the youth club. And I wrote him and just explained what had happened. I didn't get anything back or anything, but he came to pick Pat up a few weeks later. So I went to him, I said, Stephen, you'll never know how God blessed me and Frank with what you did for us with that money. He said it was strange, that, very strange. He was working then, just about. His legs were starting to get quite weak. He said, I'm climbing up the ladders and just about to climb on a conservatory to do some work. And I went, Jesse. And then he said, I thought to myself, what have I said Jesse for? Why have that come into my mind? And he just felt that God was telling him to do something, and he did. That was his obedience to God's plan for me. He didn't have no idea about it. One of my favourite verses in the Bible is this, and this has blessed me time and time again, and it's in 1 Samuel 25 and part of verse 29. Even when you are chased by those who seek your life, you are safe in the care of the Lord your God, secure in his treasure pouch. Now, that's the Living Bible. The King James doesn't say that. God has said to me, you are secure in my treasure pouch. Where else would you want to be? Where else is any safer than that, than God's treasure pouch? I'd had a bad day a few months ago, a terrible day. I'd irritable with myself. I'd drop everything I pick up. My arthritis was bad and I was sick and tired of myself. I really was. And I went to bed that night and I said, Lord, I'm so sorry how I've been today. I really shouldn't have been like that, but I have. And I'm sorry that I was like that. I said, just help, forgive me, Lord. Help me to sleep it off now, otherwise I'll be murdering all night. And he did. I woke up the following morning with these words in my mind. Straight away, he giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labours increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men, for out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. What more do you want somebody to say to you than those wonderful words? I used to sing them a lot and I love them dearly. I'm back up to where I am now. Things have changed a lot again in my life. Sometimes it's hard because I am 88. But I was thinking, my friend Joyce used to make me laugh because when she turned 60 and somebody said about, I don't do that at my age now. No, I don't do. She had this thing, I don't do that at my age. And I go upstairs at night and I'll say, thank you, Lord, that at my age I've done above that today. And he's kept me going. And I once said to somebody on one of our leaders' meetings, the IMTAC stuff, we'd been I can't even remember where it was, how it came about. But I said, I could never give my testimony. It's as dull and boring as ditch water. He said, and I said, we just heard a testimony of somebody who'd been something or other really bad and they got saved. I thought, I'll never be able to do it. What have I got to say? And he turned and looked at me and he said, the same miracle of grace that saved that person saved you. And I remembered this song that I used to sing as well. I'm not going to read it all, it's just the first verse. And then I finished. My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles is written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Amen.